Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Is Arizona State a football team?
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep. Welcome to the Dog Pod, your home for fans of the University of Washington Huskies tackle football team. I'm here with Law Dog and Mitch. The Dogs took a week off, and so did we, but we're back. Quick review of the Huskies 24-27 loss in Corvallis. We're going to give you our assessment of the state of Husky Union and preview our 5:30 date with UCLA this Saturday. Gentlemen, I'm as confident as a kicker in the transfer portal. How are you guys feeling?
Well, BT, the Dog Pod might have taken a week off, but my liver did not after that Oregon State game.
No, it definitely did not. It was well-deserved.
Yeah, I had to, my family had to take me off suicide watch at the end of the game there. So, you know, BT, let's just get right into it and just relive how awful it truly was. You know, Dylan Morris comes out firing, goes 4 for 4 on that first drive, and he hits Bynum for a 44-yard touchdown. Then Beavers come back and miss a field goal on their second opportunity, on their first opportunity. And then Cam Davis gets hit in the backfield right at the end of the first quarter there, coughs it up, and the Beavers go right in. Jack Costello, what play could they be running there, guys? But Jack Costello runs it in, ties it up 7-7. Huskies punt. Now the Beavers have figured out they can run all over the six-man front. B.J. Baylor gets the touchdown, 14-7 Beavers, 8 minutes left in the first half. Dylan Morris, I mean, I thought this was his worst game as a Husky, maybe with the exception of Montana, but he gets picked off by Avery Roberts here on the right after that touchdown. He lucks out because Asa Turner comes up with a pick. Huskies can't do anything with it, though. They finally get it back with 3 minutes left in the first half. They move it all the way down to the 2-yard line, guys. And I mean, didn't you know how this was going to end? We were going to get down to a 4th and 1.
Sure.
And Jimmy Lake was going to have to decide. He takes the points. They get the field goal. It's 14-10 at half. Then Beavers go really run heavy here. I mean, it's just, they're just running the ball down the Huskies' throat. They grab a field goal, 5 minutes left in the third, make it 17-10. Then finally, the Huskies get it going. Sean McGrew has that beautiful 39-yard touchdown run. And guys, where has he been? 17-17, they tie it up. And then the very next play, Fatui Tui Tele, probably the play of the game, gets in the backfield, strip sacks, Chance Nolan, Taki Tayamani picking it up, taking it all the way down to the 6-yard line, wanted him to get it in there. McGrew does punch it in. The Huskies take the lead. Guys, I thought we were going to win the game with 10 minutes to go here.
All good.
The Beavers come right back. I mean, just with ease, moving it down the field, 6 plays, 75 yards. I mean, it was as quickly as I could get a celebratory beer and open it, the Beavers are scoring. B.J. Baylor, 27-yard touchdown to tie it with 24 with 7 minutes left. Huskies get it back. And this, I mean, guys, their whole season can be summed up with this sequence right here. 3rd and 2 from their own 45-yard line. Kamari Pleasant runs right up the gut, stuffed for just maybe like a short gain. The Huskies go for it from the 46, 4th and a long one. I was screaming at the television here. I just said, punt it with 3 minutes left. Make them go down the whole length of the field. Trust your defense. And, of course, Morris gets stuffed on the QB sneak. Huskies turn it over. Oregon State drains the clock in true Chris Peterson, Jonathan Smith style, and get the field goal as time expires. I haven't felt this much pain in a long, long time. And, guys, I had surgery a couple weeks ago.
This is worse than that surgery. This is mental surgery. But as you said, how much is this Husky football over the last 2 years? Opening drive, looking great. Boy, the coaches are coming up with a great plan for that opening drive, whether it's Montana or whatever. Offense
all downhill.
Out. All done. Opposing offense figures out they can run it down throat. We can't stop it. And we cannot, when we need to salt the clock away, we can't salt the clock away. We can't get off the field. And then when we need a conversion at the end of the game, we just simply cannot get one. I mean, this is just classic. I felt like, you know, no Kate Otten and Devin Culp fell apart. That hurt a lot. MJ Ole, I thought, you know, that, which is, I guess, a highlight. You know, you look better than Julius Boello. Then I noticed that MJ Ole is back down on the depth chart again. D-line looked pretty good until that final drive, in my opinion. I mean, if there's anything, I take back every horrible thing I've said about Kamari Pleasant. He looked incredible.
He had his best game.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're looking for highlights, there are some of your highlights.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great recap because courtesy of Larry Scott, I was in Boise that weekend. I could not watch the game because no sports bars had it on because you can't watch the Huskies anywhere near the central time zone or further east.
Oh, wow.
So thank you. Thank you, former commissioner, for totally hosing our exposure. But I did read up and kind of saw some clips and stuff like that. I think for me, some of the concerning aspects here is just the continued attempt to try and run the ball in the one and the two hole and the quarterback sneak. Like, they're going to have to figure out, like, dude, it's not there.
You can't do that.
You can't do it. Your athletes are just getting stoned. So, like, when are you going to be smarter and do something different? Mm-hmm. And so it was brutal to hear the call that they went with for that quarterback sneak at the very end of the game, considering they've been dominated. The D-line, I think, has been playing okay, but they just get worn down because of what we just talked about. And, I'm concerned. Like, I'm a Morris fan, but, like, I just don't feel like he's taken a step forward this year in kind of the direction that we were all hoping for. I don't think, Sam Heward's ready yet. So we're in a tough spot. And, it's not going to get any easier this next week with UCLA, who had 200-yard rushers in their most recent game. So maybe that's a good segue to get off of this shit sandwich that we're talking about right now and talk about the future.
Absolutely. Let's get into this thing. I mean, let me
jump in real quick because there's a lot to chew on there, Mitch. But I think, defensively, I think we've kind of glossed over it. I think the defense was really letting us down against Oregon State. And I'm not saying the offense hasn't been letting us down for the last two seasons, because they have. But And I don't want to blame the players, because I think, like I was saying, Fatui Tuitele, Taki Taimani, Latuli Gassanoa, those guys have been playing really well, but they just don't have the help. We're playing two safeties deep against teams that are throwing it against us 10 times. And yeah. Lake refuses to change. And I've been so hard on coaches that are stubborn and won't change. I think our coach might be the most stubborn out of all of them. He's sticking with the six-man front, two down linemen a lot of times, and they're just running it up the gut for four, five, or six, no problem, let alone, actually break a long one. And you just can't ask that much of a D lineman. If you don't have a Vita Vea, who's a two-gap run stuffer, who's going to go in the top half of the first round of the NFL draft, then you shouldn't be playing defense like that. You need to bring in some more bodies. Trust your corners to cover. I'm reading that book, Fear No Man, by Mike Gastineau, guys, talking about the 91 team. Mm-hmm. And, they just said everybody on the line of scrimmage. Shane Powakoa, you play deep. Everybody else has a gap on the line of scrimmage. Yep. And you fear no man. You get in there and get in his face and get aggressive. And, if you have the personnel, you got to let those guys cover one-on-one. The two deep safeties, it's got to change. It has to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there was a lot of success with that, like bend, don't break. But now that we can't stop the run, we're just bending and bending and bending and can't get off the field. It's just brutal. Tough loss, guys. But I think before we get into and turn the page and get into the UCLA matchup, our Washington Huskies are 2-3. Talked about it this week, but it's been 100 years since we lost to Montana. It's been 11 years since we started 2-3. It's been 10 years since we lost to Oregon State. That's who we are right now. Five levels of DEFCON. I gave you guys some homework. What level is the are the Huskies right now? What is the level of the Husky State of Union for you? And back up your answer.
Yeah, I mean, so I guess I'm somewhere around DEFCON 4 from a perspective of, look, can things change? Can they start making adjustments? Do they recognize, to Law Dog's point, you know, that it's time to do something different. And so they still do have some runway to do that, right? The thing that I'm worried about is, man, this was supposed to be, this was a really important year with the talent that they had on hand. And I think they are not recruiting well behind this year. They're going to, they're light. If, and especially if some of the rumors are true, where let's just be real, like every team now, and it's not just the Huskies, right? It's going to be more and more common. You're going to see more turnover on your roster with the transfer portal, right? And that's very concerning, disconcerting for a fan, because you don't know what you're going to get on the other end. And hopefully you get the, you know, Bradley Hiles and those types of players to also, you know, lessen the blow. But if you look at the recruiting and you look at basically a pretty disappointing season, it could be some dark years ahead of us. So that's why I'm saying four. And if we continue to you know, play the way we're playing, it's going to quickly escalate to five.
We haven't hit the bottom yet. Lawdog, what do you say?
I want to define the terms here. DEFCON 1, guys, is a war footing. That means you are at war. It's the highest level. Oh.
Okay,
so fine. I think what you're saying, Mitch, is that we're a two. Yeah, I actually did my homework, Mitch.
you did your war DEFCON definition
I read a military history book in preparation for this podcast.
and or looked up Wikipedia.
No, and I am exactly where Mitch is. I don't think that this is like, I don't think we're in worst case scenario territory yet, but I mean, I could see it from here. And I am very concerned. I mean, you know, this team could still come out and, you know, finish, I don't know, 6-3 in the conference. I mean, I don't expect them to do that based on what we've seen. But I mean, you know, like we're saying, if they are appropriately panicked and are making the necessary changes during this bye week, then yeah, I guess they could turn the ship around. But I mean, it's getting to be too late. Like, if you don't beat UCLA or Arizona State or Oregon or Stanford, you're not going to a bowl. I mean, which of those four games do you think this team's going to win? Yeah, I think the results on the field, especially with the talent that this coaching staff had on hand, and let's face it, Jimmy Lake has hired both of the coordinators and a lot of this coaching staff at this point. And I mean, we are seeing a big step backwards on the offensive side of the ball with Donovan, a huge step backwards, and we're seeing a big step backwards on the defensive side of the ball. It's not as dramatic, but I mean, this is not Pete Kwiatkowski's defense. And Jimmy Lake owns this stuff. I mean, he's got more talent on hand than any Husky team since maybe the early 90s. And he's doing less with it. I'm real concerned. I don't think there's any good news. I wish I had something to share with you, but I don't feel like there's any right now.
Okay. I'm going to give you guys – I'm going to channel my inner Jimmy Lake. I'm going to give you two narratives. If this were Jimmy Lake at a presser – here's what you're going to hear. You want the optimistic story? He's what you're going to hear. Hey, Montana, we're missing our entire starting receiver core. We got unlucky. Tough breaks. Michigan, title contender, undefeated, and it was closer than you think. Hey, the real Huskies, you know they were? The team that beat that offensive powerhouse A-State 52-3. Hey, you know what? We beat Cal.
Listen to yourself.
Hey. Who's beat Cal in the last 4 years? I'll tell you who has. Jimmy Lake. We just beat Cal. We lost a tough road game to Oregon State with missing Cade Otton. Still no ZTF. Look, hey, Oregon State just went down to the Coliseum and beat down USC, right? And we took it down to the last play, but we lost a tough one. You know what? We're number two in the Pac-12 in yards allowed. We're number one in the country in yards per catch on the defensive side. And you know what? If we take out UCLA this week, that's your Jimmy Lake presser right now. Okay, here's Husky Twitter's take. Here's Husky Twitter right now. Here's your DEFCON 5 from Husky Twitter. We got manhandled by Montana, who just took our just run the damn ball and owned us. Ran it down our throats with an undersized line. You know who did beat the Grizz this year? Eastern. A Washington team did beat Montana. It was Eastern. Hasn't happened in 100 years. We got absolutely owned in Michigan and didn't have anything to show in the playbook at all. They simply ran. They didn't have to show anything. I mean, they showed nothing to the rest of the Big Ten. They just ran the ball off tackle, down our throat, and controlled the game. We finally get a win against A-State in the Sun Belt, who, congratulations, A-State has one win on the season. You want a cookie for that? Like, they have one freaking win. Okay. We squeak out a win against a home win against a 1-5 Cal team. Who, I don't know if you guys saw.
That's the worst Cal team we've played in the last 4 years.
Wazoo just handled them 20-6 in Berkeley. 21-6 in Berkeley. And they were 5 feet away from a final field goal to, from taking us out. So we had down
socially distance State. 5 feet away, right, BT?
That was a full five. Thank you. Vaccinated 5 foot field goal. We head down to Oregon State, feeling ourselves again. Can't stop the run. Turnovers, horrible decisions galore. We lose again to a team that, again, Wazoo beats 31-24. It's not like we don't have talent. We have top two classes the last 3 years. Talent is not a problem. Let's talk about off the field.
I mean, yeah. 17, 18, and 19.
That's correct. Three in a row. You want to talk about off the field? You got Savelle Small's dad and Roma Dunze's dad openly talking about guiding their kids out of the program on Twitter to each other, calling the coaches liars. You have unsubstantiated rumors that Lake wanted to fire John Donovan and had a plan to, but was too worried about the optics. You have other unsubstantiated rumors about top in-state recruits who are saying, I'm not even considering the Huskies because the coaches are too disorganized. Like, that's the talk right now. You have a 2021 class that finished, what was our 21 class? Sixth in the Pac-12.
You're about to do worse.
We sit eighth right now. Solid rumors we can't hold Jeremy Bernard. TJ Hall was just in a photo shoot in Iowa this weekend. So, guys, there is your – you want a glass half full and a glass half empty? There's your glass half empty right there.
BT, you're giving me too much here. I can't resist. So, on your narrative one, and you brought this up a couple times now, I don't care if you're missing every receiver. I don't care if every receiver is on the bench. That is an FCS program coming into Husky Stadium, mm-hmm. three top 15 national recruiting classes, you know, on the roster. You can run the ball. You should be able to run the ball enough to score 14 points and pass the ball to your tight ends or whatever, enough to score 14 points, which is all it would have taken to win that game. But there's absolutely no excuse. There's no excuse. It doesn't matter who was missing in the game. So I just want to take that.
I agree, but I'm giving you the presser of like what I'm hearing with this is, right. Hey, you know what? College football is crazy right now. Anybody can beat anybody. Wow. You know, yeah, and what I want to hear is, hey, you know what? This is garbage. This isn't Husky football.
Right.
I want to hear some – like. That's what I want to hear out of this because you're right. The only reason that you lose that game is you have a complete lack of preparation. And you've looked over the team and you didn't prep the team to win. And that isn't a talent. That's a coaching and a culture problem. That's how you
lose that. I got furious. I mean, I went off on Twitter. I don't know if you guys saw this, but at Lake's press conference after the Oregon State game where he was like, hey, we're a couple plays away, you know, from being 4-1 or whatever it was. And I was just like, that's Tyrone Willingham talk, man. That doesn't belong in our program. And he is making all sorts of excuses right now. It cannot be allowed to continue. I just don't know what to say about it. Like when Tyrone Willingham took over the program, the program was 1-10. You can't expect them to go win, the conference or make a bowl game even maybe in that first season. Steve Sarkisian, same thing, took over an 0-12 program, almost had us in a bowl game. And that was a lot of progress. Right now, we're seeing the opposite of that. We're going from a team that was in the Rose Bowl 3 years ago, won the North last year, to are we going to make a bowl game? If this team has a losing record, everyone should be fired.
I would have liked to have seen him if that rumor's true. I would have liked to have actually had him. I would have loved to have seen a press conference where he's fired John Donovan and just said, hey, guys, you know what? I made a mistake. And this isn't Husky football. And I'm going to do everything that I can to turn this ship around, even though I don't like midseason firings. I think you talk about not making a bowl game this year. I think this game against UCLA is our best chance to actually beat a bowl-bound team. I think there's a good chance that not only we don't make a bowl game if it continues on like this, we won't finish with a single win against a bowl-bound team.
Yeah, who's it going to be? I mean, that's what you just said right there. That should never happen in Husky football, and it certainly shouldn't happen with the program at a posture that it was going into this season.
It shouldn't. And so here you go. This is where my DEFCON 4-5 is. Are we in 2003 or was last year 2003? And what I mean by that,
yep.
Neuheisel, goes out unexpectedly under very different circumstances, but he had us in a Rose Bowl win, 3 points away from a, you know, an undefeated season. Peterson goes out unexpectedly, quick promotion of the incumbent. Gilbey goes 6-6. The next year he goes 1-10. And the program's at a point where we hire Ty Willingham. And that's what should concern Husky Nation, is not just, are we here now and is this a 1-2 year thing? But then do we come in and make some Willingham like?
How do you turn it around? I mean, it has to be turned around.
Yeah. These next couple of weeks are absolutely critical.
You know, I mean, the scary part is you don't want to enter the coaching carousel trap and the destabilization that that does with your recruiting cycle and the program. But I mean, it's hard to really disagree with a lot of those points. I personally hate the Twittersphere stuff and all of that crap. Like, my hope is they can turn it around, but it's pretty scary times right now, I think, for Husky football.
Well, look, this week is your chance, and I'm going to get into this, and let me tell you why. Guys, this week we're playing UCLA, 5:30 on Big Fox. We're celebrating the 30th anniversary of the national championship team. Some of those members are going to be here. The Pac-12 has served you. The scheduling gods have served you this on a platter. We had the bye week. UCLA is coming off of a road game. And remember what's happened to everybody historically. They're serving you this up on a platter, right? Look, historically, I mean, this amazes me. Somehow UW favored by 2. UCLA coming off, they had a win at Zona, 34-16, but they're down early, followed by that home loss to a real solid ASU team. UCLA, it's kind of interesting looking back at the history of this. They have the lifetime advantage over us pretty big. They've won 13 of the last 18. UW has owned the last two. You remember 2018 when we went down to the Rose Bowl? 31-24.
Squeaked
it out with a great Miles Gaskin game. Had to recover an onside kick to close the thing out. You remember that beat down of the chosen one, Josh Rosen? 44-23 in 2017. How great was that? That's the last two games. But those games are over. Here we go. New team, new era. Let's talk to me. What do you guys think? Let's hear what we think about that offense and about that defense. What are we going to see against UCLA?
All right. Well, I'll start with the UCLA offense here. And you know, you say it's served up on a platter for us, BT, but we're going to have our work cut out for us here. So the top five teams in Pac-12 in yards per game, UCLA is number 4, but they're all really bunched up at the top, and then there's kind of a drop-off. So UCLA right in the mix there, but they're number 2 in the conference in running with over 200 yards a game, and they're tied for 6th in passing yards. They're 2nd in scoring. This is their second season now, putting up 35 or more points per game, and they're, you know, they're converting 46% of their third downs, 3rd in the conference. Yep. Yep. So this is, you know, by those measures, this is a top 3 offense in the conference. You got junior Zach Charbonnet and senior Britton Brown. Those guys are number 2 and number 3 in the Pac-12 in rushing yards. So they have a 1-2 combo that both are in the top 3 in the conference. So
what ran it all over LSU.
Ran it all over LSU. And what do you think they're going to be trying to do on Saturday? You know, DTR is even number 17 in the conference in rushing. That's higher than any Husky. Sean McGrew checks in at number 24. Then they got junior wide receiver Kyle Phillips. He's 6 in the conference in receptions and yards. And then they got a big junior tight end, Greg Dulcich, number 7 in yards behind him there. So I would say offensively, if UCLA, you know, chooses to throw the ball, that would be a mistake. But if they do, if they have one weakness, I would say offensively, I would say it's on that O-line. They're actually 11th in the conference, giving up 2.5 sacks per game. And even though with all those rushing yards, over 1,300 rushing yards so far this season, they're kind of in the middle of the pack when it comes to yards per carry. So their offensive line maybe not caught up to the rest of their skill positions yet. I'd say that is one potential area the Huskies could exploit. I don't think we're going to see ZTF this weekend, but if the Huskies have a pass rush package in there, you know, somebody to get in there, either cause a turnover, get some sacks. That's what this defense is going to need to do on Saturday.
ZTF practiced in full pads, but he was off of the depth chart for whatever that's worth. I don't know. Yeah. You know, I don't know what that is, but you could, boy, you could
use a shot. I don't think Blake's going to tell us the week before he's playing.
No, no. You could use a shot in the arm, though.
Well, and I think it's encouraging that he's going to be back at all. I mean, frankly, you know, that's the real X factor between last year's team that, quote, won the North, you know, and this year's team is no ZTF. I mean, on the defensive side of the ball, we've really been lacking that pass rush option and have been for a while. And, you know, that's the X factor that we could really use. Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting looking at our offense against their defenses. You know, look, Arizona, who this could be, this 2021 Arizona team is going to be one of those, you know, worst 10 Pac-12 teams in the last 20 years, right? They're really struggling. They were able to move the ball against UCLA. And, you know, I think for maybe some bad decisions or some over aggressive decisions by Jed Fish, but like six trips into UCLA territory and they only came away with a field goal. UCLA started with their defense, I think, at the beginning of the year, really aggressive, tons of pressure, and other teams have kind of figured that out. And I think they'll make that adjustment against the Huskies as well. But it's definitely a defense that is prone to giving up big plays, prone to giving up big plays over the top. You know, but does put up sacks and does put a lot of quarterback pressure, which has been an issue, which is definitely has been an issue. But yeah, I mean, this one, you have 2 weeks to game plan against this defense that is not their strong point. And you've got 2 weeks to game plan against this UCLA offense. This, to me, this week is all about the coaching, putting together the right game plan and getting some buy-in, wrangling, getting that culture going and getting people to still buy into the program, you know, versus, you know, thinking about transfer portal. Mitch, what else do you think, man?
Sorry, I took a little network hiatus there, so I missed a lot of that. I think, you know, it's just how do they get right and, you know, get themselves in a position to win this next football game and right the ship and hopefully take advantage of a team that I was just not that impressed when I watched UCLA and Arizona play in the late game on Saturday. And they should have a real puncher's chance in this.
A wildly inaccurate DTR, right? But again, as Law Doug says, if you're dropping two safeties back and just letting them run, it's big trouble.
Yeah, I mean, he could not hit the broadside of a barn, BT, like literally. But what they would do is he would tuck it and run it, and then they have Charbonnet, and I can't remember the name of the other back.
Thank you.
And they were just relying pretty much wholesale on the run. So to Law Dog's earlier point, you got to stack the box if you're the Dogs and say we're stopping the run and make DTR beat our pretty darn good defensive backs. It's going to be the game.
So yeah, DTR 57% completion percentage. That is 10th in the conference on qualifying quarterbacks. But he only has two interceptions. So, you know, he's taking care of the ball, but he's certainly having some accuracy problems. And, you know, I don't know. I don't see them throwing the ball in this game. I mean,
what's more scary to you and what's scary to us? I mean, it is a good running, power running team and an escapable quarterback. We've struggled with that for years, right? Even in the good years in Peterson, like a little bit of escapability quarterback always gave us fits. A couple of interesting side notes here. When they're lining up for place kicking, you know who their holder is? Old Ethan Garbers.
Colson Yankoff.
Yankoff.
Ethan Garbers. Yankoff. Receiver.
Oh, he's a receiver now.
Yeah, he's a receiver. You don't see too much of him. But
great job transferring because you weren't going to be quarterback at UW and ended up playing receiver where he probably could have fit in quite nicely at UW. So
I think he might have 2-3 receptions there. You know what we're going to see on the defense, though? Ale Kaho.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys are back. It's been it's been interesting to see. I think it's tough because a lot of people, of course, they're pointing to Hayner. But if you actually look at what a lot of the transfers have done, it's been pretty tough. you know, or just can't, like Ty Jones and others just can't find the field.
You know, I think that it is kind of an overrated, you know, we haven't talked that much about it. We always mention it obviously, but, you know, think about your impact transfers in college football history. You know, it's very rare. I think I am really pleased with that. I'm seeing out of Bookie. Mm-hmm. I think he looks absolutely like really, I think to have a player like that come in and be able to step on the field and start in this secondary, that's a gift that you got through the transfer portal. It really helped make up for the loss of Molden. And, you know, so I think you got to be pleased with that. Other than that, I mean, I can't even think of a Washington transfer that's been an impact player in his first year eligible.
Yeah, it really has been tough, but I think it's going to be interesting to see some of these guys here. Look, it's a game on Big Fox, and this is that. Look, we're at this precipice where I probably agree with you guys that we're at DEFCON 2. This isn't quite one, and unfortunately, that means there's more. There's further more to go. You can have massive attrition, like you know the rumors that we're hearing about. You can completely even dismantle what's left of the 2022 and 2023 classes. There's a lot of other things that can happen, but the other ways that things can go is you can put together a statement win against a UCLA team on Big Fox. This we can use that for momentum moving forward because you've got you're off to Arizona and you've got some other winnable games down the road. But this is going to be a good one. Look, we're going to be there. We're going to be loud, trying to keep things positive here on the Dog Pod. Guys, do you want to talk about the Law Dog says maybe.
I mean, when you said I was with you up until he said we're going to keep it positive on the Dog Pod, I reserved the right to change my mind on that. Yeah,
by we I meant I.
Yeah,
and even that I look. I've got my moments, and part of that, I hate to say it, is like you know, you look at your support for this, and of course, you know, you keep getting season tickets, and you're going to support this team, but look, it's going to get ugly, and we've been
there's
there before.
A point, yeah,
there's a point. We've been there before, and we're at this precipice now where. Look, it could have been 2 weeks ago. You could have had a big win against Oregon State and get some momentum. But if you don't get it this week, guys, no one's going to be impressed. Even if you pull out a win against Arizona, I don't think that doesn't buy you a cookie. Other games this weekend, guys, I'm going to quiz you a little bit. I want to hear this. Here, what you think? There's the rest of the Pac-12 we're still going to be watching. Zona at CU, getting the day started at 12:30. What's the line for that? What's the line?
It's got to be CU because here's why. Zona's starting quarterback last week got hurt against UCLA, like pretty bad, and their backup looked pretty terrible. So I'm going to say CU, who has had their own struggles, but it's got to be CU by how many? 7 or 10 would be my guess.
I was just going to say 7.5. We're guessing, right?
That's what you're guessing. Yeah. So you're saying 7.5, Mitch. What are you locking on?
I'm going to say 10, dude.
10? Okay. Law Dog wins that one 6.5. Okay. Stanford at Wazoo.
Oh, this is an interesting game. Well, question number one, will Wazoo have their head coach? Unknown, which is interesting.
What a
yeah, totally. I'm going to go Wazoo on this. They got the win over Oregon State. And Stanford lost last weekend, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly. I'm going to stay Wazoo by 3.
Ooh, okay.
I'm going to take the flip side on that. I think it's Stanford. I'm going to give it 2.5.
Look at this. Wazoo has looked good the last 2 weeks, and I think they're already licking their chops for the Apple Cup and trying to end this curse, but it is Stanford minus 2.
Minus 2. Okay. Minus 2,
here you go. Here's another one I think is really interesting. This is, you know, if you have two really good games, there's one, that Stanford Wazoo game, I think is going to be a great one to watch. The next one, ASU at Utah. Utah coming off a big one, 7 p.m. What do you think?
Utah.
ASU, the class of the conference right now, potentially. I mean, if you look at.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Undefeated in the Pac.
Yeah, in the South for sure. It's in Utah. God, I mean, you got to think that ASU is probably favored by 1 just because, but Utah played well against SC and kind of handled SC, although they're a mess. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, the bookies knew something about Utah, but I'm going to say ASU by -1.
Ooh, ASU by
okay,
one.
I'm going to take the over. I got ASU by, I'm going to put it in the Bill Simmons Vegas zone. ASU by five.
Wow. Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know, and I think they must have really liked what Utah did. Mitch wins this one. It's a pick 'em.
It's a pick 'em.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Pick 'em. That's okay. A cool one to get a little bit of action on. And then the last one, here you go. I mean, just how big do you want to go on this one? Cal at Oregon. How big for Oregon? What do you think?
Right. 17.
Oh, I'm going to take the over. I'll take 24 and a half.
Wow. So you guys need to, I mean, you should put some, if you really feel that way, you got to put some money where your mouth is. Mitch wins this one, only 14.
Oh, 14. Wow.
That's tight.
Interesting.
Right?
I have to, yeah. some side bets, you guys, and I have to say, without your counsel and wisdom, it hasn't been very pretty for the Law Dog this season. However, I have taken the Huskies and I have taken the under in every Husky game and have won every one so far.
Wow, that's interesting. What Huskies, so? What's our line?
Huskies 1-4 against the spread. Huskies are so they've only covered one game, that Arkansas State game, and Huskies are -2. Opened at -1 and somehow slid to -2, which is
interesting.
Wild.
Do you know what the over under is?
I have not seen the over under. I could probably find that, but I think it's okay. I'm guessing they're gonna want to put some points up.
Well, guys, I might have to make a run out to old Snoqualmie Sportsbook before I head in for the game here.
do this thing the old fashioned legal way.
55. Yeah. I'm seeing it at 55 and a half over under.
Wow.
And I mean, I'm all on the under. All on it.
I'm with Law Dog. I like this new revenue stream that he's opening up for our household here.
Wow, 28-27, yeah. Which is you know, it's interesting because of how much UCLA is putting up per game, right? I mean, UCLA is averaging 35 a game. Interesting. Well, guys, look, I'm excited for this game this week, and I really do think it is a chance. The Pac-12 has given you this gift. Do something mm-hmm. with it, coaches. And frankly, look. You are literally coaching for your jobs, particularly the coordinators. I think this year, Jimmy might be able to get a second year with this, no matter what happens. But you're coaching for your jobs.
Year three.
It'd be year three.
I mean, I don't see how Donovan has survived this long. I don't see him surviving to New Year's. If he does, then I think Lake probably deserves to go with him. Gregory. You know, it's tough for me to see him making a change there after one season, but, you know, it depends on how hot a seat is really getting.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, look, if you like your job and you want to stay, because this, like, is it from a coaching perspective, this isn't only your current gig. You fail here, it's going to be real tough. It's a tough road back. I mean, you know, this is like your, you know, when Willingham left, he was done. And this is real tough to come back from. So, guys, Dogs are favored. Let's hope Vegas knows something that we don't. How about we get that win this week, huh? Go Dogs.
Yeah, go Dogs. Dogs. Woof. Woof.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Is Arizona State a football team?
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.